When Jen breaks up with Andy after 4 years together, his world implodes spectacularly. We meet him at rock bottom, creating a bitter list titled Reasons Why It's Good I'm Not With Jen, a desperate attempt to convince himself he's better off without her. His complaints range from petty grievances, can't dance, has no rhythm at all, to deeper issues, would never talk seriously about having children. But the final, raw admission, ruined my life, reveals the depth of his devastation. Forced to move back to his mother's house at 34, Andy wallows while she comforts him with DiSerrano spiked tea and Frank Sinatra's In the Wee Small Hours, the same album she played after his father left. In a particularly poignant moment, Andy photographs their clothes hanging together on the washing line, in case I forget what it feels like to be loved, before crying himself to sleep in his childhood bed. What makes this portrayal of heartbreak so compelling is its unflinching honesty. Andy isn't stoic, he's messy and sometimes pathetic. When he encounters Jen's perfume on a stranger, it triggers such intense longing that he impulsively buys all four bottles from the local pharmacy and dumps them into a canal, a meaningless gesture that costs him $159.14 and brings no relief. Their relationship ignited at a mutual friend's birthday party in a local pub. Their first conversation crackled with chemistry as they playfully challenged each other's opinions, flirting to a premiership standard while delighting in their similarities. After the pub closed, they continued at a tacky club. Despite Andy leaving for Edinburgh's Fringe Festival the next day, they maintained connection through daily texts and nightly calls. Their origin story feels ordinary yet magical. No dramatic, rain-soaked declaration, just authentic connection. Jen later admits she was drawn to Andy despite obvious red flags, excessive drinking, financial instability from comedy gigs, and none of the traditional husband material markers. Everything in her body told her to love him completely, and she followed that instinct against her usual careful nature. This tension between emotional truth and practical compatibility became central to their relationship's eventual collapse. As Jen reflects, eventually our initial attractions became irritations. His nonconformity became lack of structure. My independence became remoteness. After his breakup, Andy launches the Jen Inquiry, a desperate investigation into why she left him. His quest reaches absurd extremes as he obsessively analyzes her Instagram stories, scrutinizing every tag and emoji like a conspiracy theorist. He constructs elaborate theories about her new boyfriend, convinced their relationship predated the breakup. His desperation peaks when he visits a therapist under the alias Clifford Beverly, discussing his actual relationship disguised as fiction. As Cliff, he portrays himself as a successful corporate lawyer while criticizing Alice, representing himself, for needing to grow up, unconsciously projecting insecurities about his struggling comedy career. The therapist's insights about paternal judgment make Andy physically recoil. This search evolves from understanding Jen's decision into an existential crisis. Andy realizes how much of himself was invested in being Andy and Jen rather than just Andy. He refuses to tell his best friend about the breakup, holding on to this information like a precious secret. Andy's post-breakup housing adventures border on the absurd. His first attempt, a narrowboat promising bohemian charm for novel writing, quickly disappoints with its chemical toilet, freezing showers, and a strategic roof leak positioned directly above his pillow during London's frequent downpours. Next comes Morris, a 78-year-old conspiracy theorist whose bizarre rental ad specified no Remain voters, no practicing religions, though spiritual inquiry acceptable, and all nationalities welcome, exclude Dutch, for supposedly historically justified reasons. Morris's home serves as an archive of paranoia. Newspapers dating to 1993 line the walls, important to have a record, He tracks neighborhood cats, believing them to be MI5 surveillance devices, and insists George Harrison slept on his sofa in 1963, despite purchasing the house in 1985. These temporary living situations reflect Andy's internal displacement, having lost not just a relationship, but a home, routine, and sense of belonging. Alongside Andy's romantic troubles, his comedy career has stalled. Despite being a former Edinburgh Fringe best newcomer, he watches his friend field Netflix calls while his own agent ignores him for months. The decline becomes concrete when Andy discovers his demotion from an E to an F on Comedy Circuit's booking website, reducing his fee from $1,000-$2,000 to just $250-$500 per show. His professional collapse peaks with a savage article titled RIP Stand-Up Comedy that demolishes him, comparing him to your worst school geography teacher and a past its sell-by date Cornish pasty had a son, and declaring his comedy actively harmful to the evolution of British comedy. The deepest wound is imagining Jan reading this, confirming her choice to leave. She always urged him beyond safe observational humor toward more challenging material. This intersection of professional and personal failure creates overwhelming self-doubt. If he's inadequate for both audiences and Jen, who is he? The novel pivots dramatically when it shifts to Jen's perspective, revealing her complex reasons for ending the relationship. Far from Andy's occasional villain portrayal, Jen emerges as conflicted and thoughtful. At 13, Jen's idealized view of her parents' marriage shattered upon discovering her father's affair. She saw how her mother abandoned her career for family, raised children mostly alone while her father worked abroad, and became merely an audience for his stories rather than an equal partner. The baby conversation intensified at their 2-year mark. While Andy wanted children, Jen waited for maternal feelings that never came. His insistence that no one is ever ready frustrated her, knowing she would bear most of the physical risk and career sacrifice. 2 moments cemented Jen's decision: her dying grandmother calling her wise for remaining unmarried with everything she needed, and a Joni Mitchell documentary about breaking an engagement to avoid sacrificing dreams like her grandmother's had. The novel concludes with Andy creating a comedy show about their breakup called Why Elephants Cry. Though initially resistant, Jan attends the performance where Andy processes his grief, comparing his mourning to elephants scattering bones of something that was once so magnificent. Afterward, they share an honest moment. Jen admits she loved the show despite her concerns, while Andy recognizes her genuine need for solitude, evidenced by her quitting her job to travel alone. They embrace with hollow promises to stay in touch. As Jen leaves, she sees Andy surrounded by admirers while she walks home alone, exactly where she needs to be. The ending offers closure without reconciliation. Andy transforms pain into art while Jen embraces her independence. Sometimes the most loving act is releasing someone not because they're wrong for us, but because we're wrong for them. As Jen's mother says, you don't let go once, you say goodbye over a lifetime. You have to be prepared to let go 1,000 times.